This is the Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Here's your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing back a returning guest. He was on my show back in October of 2018. We're talking no other than Helix TCS Inc. They trade on the OTCQB under the ticker symbol HLIX. In 2018, their revenues were $9.5 million. And the first 6 months of 2019, their revenues are already $7.2 million with a run rate around $15 million for the year. And with us today to talk about his company is the CEO and president and chairman of the company, Zachary Venegas. Zachary, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much for having me again. I look forward to it.
You guys are a leading provider of critical infrastructure services. You help owners, operators of licensed cannabis businesses stay competitive and compliant while mitigating risk. How did you start the business, and how's everything going over there?
So I'll do it in reverse order. So things are going very, very well. We've grown well ahead of the industry average growth rate, and so we're really hitting our stride now, increasing the scale and scope of all operations nationwide and starting to focus on international operations. And how we started the company was simply we focused on critical infrastructure from the start, but we started with one specific piece, which was security and transport. And then we quickly grew that business to become the dominant pure play in the state of Colorado and frankly, the nation. And then we, by acquisition and organic growth, began to add on other verticals like seed-to-sale compliance, the wholesale market, data. And so that's how we then expanded into the other verticals that make up the full critical infrastructure chain.
And where do you see this heading for the near future?
So we'll add on one or two other verticals that are of particular interest depending on which way regulatory winds are blowing in the U.S. But we'll start to focus now on scale and organic growth. We may continue to do M&A. M&A always has been and probably always will be part of our growth formula. And since we do it all in-house, it's relatively economical and it's certainly high quality control because we have lots of experience doing it both in this company and my partner Scott and I. We've been doing it over the years as we've been partners for nearly 20 years now. So it's a well-worn tool in our toolbox, but we're going to focus on scale and organic growth. And then we will focus on M&A as a strategic add-on, but that's where we're really looking to grow now. And so far the numbers are bearing that out. The environment is bearing that out and the cross-sell opportunities that come from an integrated technology platform offering are also starting to play out.
What do you find that these are specific challenges that are in your industry, whether it be growing the marijuana, doing the CBD, just the whole scheme of things? What challenges are you finding that businesses are having problems that need to be solved?
So I think the first tier of problems that businesses are seeing is an unstable regulatory environment across different states. I think it's difficult for owner-operators, whether it's multi-state operators or single store operators, to grow the way they should when you have sort of shifting regulations or potentially shifting regulations across states. And if we want to see the industry really be able to develop as it should, it's the multi-state operators that lead the way there. And because, you know, again, different states have different regulations and different regulations, even within the state in some cases, I think the industry as a whole sees a significant headwind in the inability to scale as cost effectively and operationally easily as they would otherwise normally in a fully uniformly regulated industry. So that's, I think, the first tier of challenges. And beyond that, you have other things like, I believe, you know, capital is starting to get tighter in some ways for some types of operations. It still remains fairly abundant for others. And then we're also starting to see, again, from the regulatory perspective, as we've seen these issues with vaping come up, you know, vaping is a very prevalent way of consumption of consumers to utilize cannabis in the industry. And so where will that go? So that adds another layer of uncertainty. So it's unresolved uncertainty that's causing people difficulty, I believe, to scale as effectively as they need to or would like to.
You guys basically have a comprehensive supply chain that you're bringing everything under your roof. That being said, the roll data, it's maturing as we're going daily, monthly, yearly. Why is that so important for people to have so much data?
Right. So let's talk about that's a great question. And data is sort of the crypto phrase or synergies in the 80s in the M&A world these phrases that sort of mean that gold falls from the sky and everything is great. That's the world right now with data. People say data, that means, oh, of course, it's a data play. But what does that really mean?
Right.
So data is critical depending on what it is critical because the way I look at it is if you really know, you don't make mistakes, right? So true information, what I would call as a military man, intelligent, vetted, contextualized information that allows you to accurately take action, that comes from in its rawest form, that's data then processed forward. Now, everyone needs data for different things. If you're a retailer, knowing what the trends are, what people are buying now, what they're likely to be buying in a month, helps you manage your inventory, keep costs down, and give people what they want, and allows you to retail more effectively and more profitably. So that's where data is critical to those people. So again, as the single largest market shareholder on the retail side in CDC compliance, we've processed well over $18 billion worth of transactions in the market. So we have a vast field of data with which we can say, okay, seasonal trends, gender trends, geographic trends, that's one aspect. So if you're a retailer, you really want to know that information. If you're a grower in a second order way, you also want to know that information. But at the same time, there's also other trends that are specific to you in terms of strain viability, strain availability. Strain availability not only to the retail market, but also, let's say, other wholesale producers of infused product. This information, so the infused product trend line, you also want to know, even though that's not your specific line of business. So data across every vertical is critically important for people to understand what they need to be producing, when and how. And so that's the sort of next level down answer as to why data is so important. It allows everyone to do everything more accurately, and that accuracy is critically important in the cannabis industry because due to the financial and fiscal structure of the industry nationwide, where people aren't allowed to take out business expenses for taxes, they don't have easy access to banking and loans, and capital is very, very expensive. The ability to operate on a very small margin of error becomes ever more important, and data keeps you alive in that space because you're not making mistakes.
As you know, the hemp bill got passed last December 2018. That being said, what challenges and opportunities arise for hemp legalization in your eyes?
Right. So again, a great step forward, but while laws were passed, regulatory promulgation has been slow. So you still have law enforcement without a framework with which to enforce these laws. And even when you have an illegal product that's now suddenly legal in a certain sense, law enforcement can't allow everyone to just go ahead and do whatever they want. They still have to operate under the old legal regime until a new one replaces it. So again, the lag between laws being passed and regulations being formulated, communicated, and enforced in the field, that's the challenge there, because there's a lot of opportunity there. There's lots of business that could be started and, in fact, have been started. But what's happening now in the industry is that you see that wait time is a killer. People, I think, just as an entrepreneurial pitfall, I think business owners, especially startups, they're not either fundraising in such a way as to keep themselves alive so those regulations are fully in effect and that allow them to generate revenue, or they're not strategizing their businesses in such a way as to sort of leapfrog from already existing legal businesses to, until those regulations are put in place, and then they can get to their main business. And in fact, this is what we, I have to say, and this is what we did to a degree. This is why we legged into the full suite of critical infrastructure verticals, because some of the things we wanted to do in the beginning just weren't fully promulgated from a regulatory perspective, and therefore weren't easily pursuable in a clearly compliant way. So there are some businesses you can be in the gray area in, but we choose not to take any of those chances. So we only focus on businesses that are fully in sort of the legal domain within the states that we operate. And so, again, there'll be a few more, as I mentioned, that we may add on once regulations are promulgated. But that is a challenge. You either have to solve that problem through your operations or your capital strategy or both. But it's definitely a problem that needs to be solved.
Very well said. Very well said. In closing here, Zachary, what do you want your investors and my listeners to take away from this interview?
So I think the biggest thing is that people look at the industry and who has what market share, financial performance. We've had tremendous revenue growth and are always improving our cash flow from operations in a very meaningful way, not just, 5 or 10% here and there. I think we're largely unknown and people don't... we don't focus much time on marketing, as you said. The last time I was on the show was in October. And I think that we're sort of an undiscovered value play. If people look at what we've done compared to everyone else in the industry, in every vertical we compete in, we're either number one or number two by a fairly wide margin everywhere we compete. And so if someone's looking to really understand the industry and look at a company that's moving towards real mainstream success, not just have a fundraising model where we just raise money. We're, as I surveyed the operating environment, I feel like we're the only game in town. So I think that's something that people really should look at. And if they do their math, I think there's a compelling case for our firm.
I want to thank you for coming on the show today. The only thing I ask you is that you not wait 11 months to come back on. Fair enough?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Fair enough.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by La Jolla Media LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional.